numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network. Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Good morning to you, sir.
Morning. How you doing?
Well, just want to say this in advance. It is humid in here.
Roasting like a toasted cheeseburger back here, Gil.
I don't know if you're familiar with the term humiture. It feels hotter than the actual temperature. And you, when you combine the temperature and the humidity, it actually feels even worse than it would normally.
Yeah, we're going to have to take smoke breaks outside during the breaks without actually smoking.
We could be, ladies and gentlemen, and particularly the ladies, we could be shirtless half an hour into this.
I already lost one piece of clothing.
Ladies are in free this morning. That's what they're
Prepare
doing.
Prepare for that.
Yes, indeed. That ought to bring it up from about 7 to 9 or something like that. Paul Carr will talk Premier League with us today. I will talk some Australian Open. Drew Dinsick and I did a Australian Open pod yesterday on the Beating the Book feed, which we were just geeking out onto the Australian Open. We'll talk about some of the stuff we talked about, but also beyond. A gentleman by the name of, and I'm going to botch the name here, Kelly, but this is a find of yours, Anthony Cicitelli?
Yeah, we're going to go with that for now. He'll clean it up for us when he gets in here.
He is. We often talk about the great stories of gambling. Anthony is on, how can I put this? An amazing run of bad luck.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
And what I mean by that is not that he's just doing poorly and everything, is that he's doing spectacularly well and it just doesn't work out kind of luck.
Exactly.
Yes.
I'll tease it a bit. He was on Morikawa with me last year, last week, and that was not by far not the worst thing that had happened to him that weekend.
No, not at all.
So, yeah, he's on a run of bad luck. We'll talk some NFL with him. Great guy, longtime listener of the show, had reached out to me for some help on something we ended up going back and forth on. So, yeah, interested. Like we always like to do, especially on Fridays, getting people in studio. We'll have some fun with Anthony. He might be a little shocked when he comes in and you and I are both shirtless, but, you know.
That's the thing.
Might be an interesting Friday show. You don't know.
It's ladies' night on a numbers game. 7 in the morning.
All right, have to bring back the love zone later.
What's it? Adam Burke will join us in studio. He'll join us at the end. Matt Brown. Yes, Matt Brown. Whenever that field goal challenge will take place, we have no idea. But Matt Brown will be on the show to give us football picks.
Yeah, at some point I think it's just going to be like summertime, me chugging eggnog while he's kicking field goals in July.
It's a history on these shows. Primetime action, a numbers game of bets not actually materializing. We'll get to Matt Brown with his football picks. And all we want to talk about is football. We'll talk about some props. Most receiving yards in the postseason, most rushing yards in the postseason, most passing yards in the upcoming postseason, because those are interesting markets because it has to correlate with who you think is advancing as part of that calculus. So it's I like anything that requires two levels or more of thinking, so we'll do that as well. As far as the games, and let me just say this, we often are asked, I don't know how often, but from time to time we're asked, what's your favorite time of the sports calendar? What's your favorite time of the sports betting year? And I, you know, for years and years and years, my knee-jerk response was always October. For me, it's October.
Yeah.
Pro football in full swing, college football in full swing, and the baseball postseason. My goodness, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
This week, Oh, I'm sorry. Yours would be?
Well, Gil, everybody always laughs at me. Whenever we have this conversation, yeah. I always say it's this time of year. We are approaching, I would say the next month and a half, it's my favorite time of year. We get the NFL playoffs, golf's getting back into swing here, NBA regular season right in the area where I usually bet it best during the time of year. So for me, I mean, I'm going to say mainly from a betting standpoint, but from a betting standpoint, this is my favorite time of year.
I think from a betting standpoint, it's these 2 weeks I kind of like the most. It's also the 2 weeks because you have 6 games in a wild card weekend. You have 4 games in a divisional round, and you have 2 weeks of the Australian Open, which for me is awesome because it's tennis's first slam of the year. And then, quite frankly, after those 2 weeks, there's a little depression that sets in for a moment where you're like, oh no, there's only 3 more football games, and then God, get me on vacation.
I got a question for you real quick about this weekend. Wait, is this the first year we're doing Monday night with a playoff game?
Yes.
Did that start last year?
I believe this is the first year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you had to explain this to multiple people?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, thank
yes.
you. My Uncle Scott. Oh, my man.
Uncle Scott never gets it right.
I think he had a couple drinks in him when he was texting me this the other day. He could not understand this for the life of him, why there was a game on Monday night on Wild Card Weekend. It was the longest text exchange on the planet, and I'm like, Scott, you just got to roll with it, man. Like, it's what the NFL's doing.
It just is.
Just is.
It's like when Karl Malone was playing for the Lakers, and there was some foreign reporter asked him, why does a basket count for 2 points? And he's like, man, some things are just what they are. The guy was like, I don't like that answer. All right, let's do these in chronological order. Let's go through every one of these games. So we have a good discussion on all of them before we get to some of our guests, and let's do them in the order that they come. Seahawks-Niners is the first. Remember, doubleheader Saturday, tripleheader Sunday, one game, the Tampa Bay-Dallas game on Monday. So Seahawks at the Niners is the first one. Niners are 9.5-point favorites. The total is 42, and this is the game where weather could be an issue. Of all of these games, you think, oh, maybe it's going to be Buffalo. Nope, Buffalo weather's kind of mildish for Buffalo. Kind of balmy-ish for Buffalo this time of year.
Yeah, here's what Kevin Roth, meteorologist over at Roto Grinders, I saw him tweet out about an hour and a half ago about this. So Saturday morning in San Fran, Santa Clara.
I was going to get to this.
Santa Clara. We're looking at heavy rain and wind gusts between 30 and 40 miles an hour. By Saturday afternoon, in game time, though, things don't look quite as ugly. Still scattered showers, but winds down to 10 to 15 miles an hour.
That was where my thought was going. That's what I was going to say. That the notion is that the weather, and this, by the way, people in the Bay Area, people in California, deluge. Like it is, like you got to get your arc out. My brother lives in SoCal. He sends me videos of him squeegeeing water to save his house.
It's wild. So has it just been raining every day at this point?
I don't know if every day, but when it does, it's like ridiculous.
Okay. And Kevin, I know I caught that a few days ago, but.
I'm sure Kevin Roth could explain all the, the Doppler ramifications.
Doppler radar.
But, in the Bay Area, and I should probably check out my Blaze there, but it's like when it rains, it's just a wind fest and it's all that kind of. But as Kelly just said, the expectation, you know how weather reports go, is that this will happen in the morning. So if that's the case, what are you just talking about? You're just talking about a wet field at that point?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Right. Which still has some effect, but, not a ton.
Jason Weingarten was on text yesterday with me. He's like, Seahawks going to win. I'm like, you're not. You know they're not. And he comes from the school of, Kelly, that Brock Purdy is due for a clunker school, right? How many people have said that?
So, you know what I hate? I hate having the cop-out answer on this, but I feel like I'm split down the middle because I think this team is so good that if they won a Super Bowl, I would not be surprised. If Brock Purdy has a clunker stinker game and ruins their entire playoff chances at some point, I would not be surprised.
I'd be more surprised by the latter.
Okay.
But that's fair what you're saying. I'd be more surprised by the latter only because Kyle Shanahan ain't dumb, right? So he knows how to, like, and he's got enough weapons that he's got in McCaffrey and Debo and Kittle and a running game behind that line that can really just sort of allow Brock Purdy to manage the game. Now, the Seahawks, Geno Smith, phenomenal story. I think he should be the comeback player of the year, but that defense isn't good. And, the weather, some might say that weather does play into a Pete Carroll kind of game where you can run the football, but it's the Niners. They can do anything the Seahawks do, they do better.
Right.
So, again, I'm Chalk McChalkerson this week. I laid the 9.5 in this game. And I stand by that. I do not feel in any way. By the way, I have the Niners in a money line parlay. I have them in a teaser. I have them every which way. But I have them against the number two.
Yeah, this is one. I know we talked yesterday a lot about how, if the number doesn't come into play all that often in this round, this is one of those. If I have nothing on this game, the bet I guess I like the most, the strongest lean I have is still to the under on this game. I think regardless of the weather, even if this was played in perfect conditions, I would still be leaning on the under between these two teams. I think you're talking about two divisional opponents, know each other well. This 49ers defense is amazing. I could see this easily being a 24-10 game, something like that. No problem, San Francisco. If I had to play a side, it would be Seahawks at this point. I mean, 9.5 points if I had to play a side.
Let me just riff on what you said there, Kelly, where you said the number doesn't matter. Again, this is the show right here at Numbers Game where we don't do trends. We don't. We don't ever do them. We do one a year we used to do with Dr. Bob where he would have a preseason trend where week two of preseason he had this unbelievable number because and intuitively it would make sense. Because I don't believe that 100% of trends are dumb, right? I believe there are exceptions to every rule. It used to be this thing where coaches would play in a way where it was a team coming off a loss, team coming off a win, and there was a situation. Now that they went from 4 weeks of preseason to three, all of that goes out the window because circumstances have changed. So when I brought up the trend about Wild Card Weekend the other day, and again, check the tape. Sorry, people hear what they want to hear. I brought it up because I was going through my Aaron Schatz research because I had Aaron Schatz on the show every year for more than a decade this particular week. And when I found my iPad of notes from like 2011, right, or 2014, whatever it was, I had this note about Wild Card Weekend. But what I said was here on the show, remember, that was 3-6 versus 4-5. There were two buys. There's one buy now. Now, that means it's 2-7, 3-6, and 4-5. So you're going to get different types of spreads, and we don't have enough sample size, right, of years to really determine if that is in any way predictive. Now, I happen to land on the chalk anyway. 0% of that handicap is because of that trend.
Yeah, it's funny because now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more, it's not to say, like, I mean, I can't sit here and say the number's going to matter more or less, but just think about with you erasing one of the buys, you are essentially have one more good team involved in this first round of the playoff than you normally would, plus one more bad team than what you normally would.
It could extend. It could extend, right? It's possible.
Right.
We're just not saying there's any predictive nature to it necessarily. We got five more games to get to. Rapid fire. Capsules. Our thoughts on all. On the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Ladies in free.
The Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander is Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, we are being corrected by several who say, yes, last year, and I have zero recollection of this. There was the first triple, you know, three-day thing where it was a doubleheader Saturday, tripleheader on Sunday, and then a Monday night game. And the reason we don't remember it is because the Rams beat the Cardinals 34-11.
Whoosh, whipping.
I want you to tell me one detail about that game.
Let's see. Matthew Stafford had a great game passing to Cooper Kupp for multiple completions.
Multiple completions. It's a pretty fair guess.
I think Skoronacek might have had a catch or two as well.
Skoronacek. But no, so it did happen, and so thank you to everybody who reminded us of that. We do get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback on all of this. This is from do. Sorry about that. Yes, everybody pointing out that Scola, it's suns out, guns out Friday on Beating the Book.
That's right.
So again, for those who missed it, it is
so hot.
It's 100% humidity in the studio today. What do you say about 97 degrees Fahrenheit?
It's what it feels like.
Michael Gaughan, who owns the South Point, has decided to smoke,
smoke us out.
I'll show them. It's like I've seen that vaguely from the other guy for 6 years.
We gave him 5 years long enough. It's getting time to get him out of here.
Oh, man. This is from, let's see. Al Giannis. How you doing, Al? What's up, boys? Boots on the ground in San Francisco. Been raining for the past 2 weeks. Got our first day of sun yesterday. More rain today and through the weekend. Can you believe that in California? Yes, in Northern California, I absolutely can. Jason H11 sending the old Chris Farley meme. The famous iconic Saturday Night Live sketch that he
did with... Jason, you don't know how bad it is, man. I might end up that way.
That he did with Patrick Swayze. Elvis Toast Patterson, Gil, awesome Australian Open pod, chock full of information from you and Drew Dinsick. The only thing missing was Todd Wishnev announcer imitation. No, that was not missing. Please, it was not missing. Nick Shea takes exception with my comment that Kyle Shanahan isn't stupid. He goes, Kyle Shanahan isn't stupid. Bro, we need to have film review of that fourth quarter of Super Bowl 51. Yeah, there was that. There was that. We appreciate all the feedback.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go through the rest of these real quick. You ready to go?
Let's do it.
Chronological order. So the second game on is Saturday. Second game on Saturday is, of course, the Chargers and the Jaguars. Chargers are 2.5-point favorites. By the way, I did make a Chargers bet. I had guessed 3 on the Chargers on guessing lines on Monday. It was closer to a pick 'em at that point. And, oh, what do you know? It's come my way. I like the Chargers here. I just think they're the more talented football team all around, and at some point that has to matter.
Yep.
Right, Brandon Staley? Don't mess it up.
No,
and with apologies to your friend on the show yesterday, Mr. Lazia,
yep.
I'm going against him.
Oh, I'm right there with you. I haven't bet it yet. I probably will be on the Chargers by the time this kicks off. I want to see I want to see some practice reports today. I want to see not practice reports because probably not practicing. I want to see an update, though, on Mike Williams. I know he's traveling with the team. I did see that today. But I would like to see a little bit more positive report on what his playing status is going to be. But I think regardless, Gil, I'm going to end up on the side, too. It is one of the ones that do I think the line's that far off? No. I think when we get this time of year, there's not many lines that jump out to me as being super far off. Like you said, you guessed 3, right? It's at 2.5.
Yep.
But it's still, this time of year, it's still a bet sometimes, right?
This is the thing. This was the off season before the season started where I was finally on the Chargers bandwagon. Every year, everyone's like, oh, the Chargers are going to be great. This was the year I finally jumped on it. I'm staying consistent with it. If you could have told me then that they were going to be in this position right now as a 5 going to the 4, I would be on the Chargers. I'll stay with that.
And look, for everybody that's high on Jacksonville out there, I get it how they, the last half of the season went. But I think last week had to have concerned you a bit, right? Like that was the first time that you have Trevor Lawrence and this team kind of in a must-win situation. I mean, it was a must-win situation to keep that season alive. I mean, Lawrence had some moments where it was some big-time missed throws, stuff like that, that I'm wondering if we're going to see that pop back up again. And Justin Herbert, on the other side of things, Mike Williams could be hurt. If you told me Justin Herbert led this team to an AFC championship game, Gil, I wouldn't be surprised either.
Rapid fire. Dolphins at Bills. We go to Sunday morning. Dolphins at Bills. This is the big spread on the board. This is Skylar Thompson getting the start for the Dolphins. The Bills, of course, remember, Wednesday morning, shot up from a 7.5-8-point favorite all the way to 13 on the news that Tua couldn't go and that it wouldn't be Teddy Bridgewater. It would be Skylar Thompson. I think that how many points would it take for you to play the Dolphins?
I brought this up yesterday. Yeah. No, it would take 20.
Yeah.
It would take 20. So this is a game I like the least from a betting standpoint this week, Gil. I know you have them in some parlays.
Well, I have Buffalo minus 7. I got super
That's
fortunate.
Right, you did, yeah.
I don't have Buffalo minus 13.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that's a great line, obviously.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm not laying 13 with them, but I do expect Buffalo to roll in this one.
Yeah, I bought it down to 7, and then the Tua news came out shortly thereafter. All right, Giants at Vikings is the second of the 3 games on Sunday. This is the line that hasn't budged and probably won't. Vikings minus 3. The Fraud Bowl 2, as everybody's calling it.
Fraud Bowl 2, that's right. Yeah, this is one I didn't get. I didn't take a piece of the 2.5 on the opener. I'm mad about that now, Gil. I do like the Vikings side here. I think there's a lot of people loaded up on the Giants this week. I know, this would be Vikings after that last game. You throw everybody in the box that you can and make Daniel Jones beat you with your arm.
So I want to say that because you are on the Vikings, as you have been consistently. This is anecdotal, but of all the games this weekend and of all the sides people are backing, does it feel like the people who are backing the Giants are the most adamant about
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And it's irritating me a bit.
Me
it's
too.
It's irritating me a bit, and I still think...
They're convinced.
I think there's a coaching advantage on the Giants side. I'll give you that.
Is there?
I think by far the best unit on the field, though, is the Vikings offense.
Listen, again, with the coaching advantage, but like the Brian Daboll love is justified to a point, but people have to understand that the first like 2/3, 3/4 of the year, again, we went through the analytics. I'm not going to bore people with it again. The amount of good fortune they had in the most high-leverage
yep.
moments, people are giving Daboll the credit for that. And I don't know that I can draw that line.
I hear you. I hear you. So yeah, I'm Vikings here. Check out this play I did, Gil. I haven't done anything else single with the game, but I'm going to Warriors tonight, Vikings money line yes. parlay, baby. Warriors on the road tonight at the Spurs. They're laying like 9, but after that beatdown against the Suns JV squad the other night, I have a feeling you're going to see a fresh Warriors team tonight. So Warriors on the road and Vikings money line parlay, which I would love to just hear all the sharps out there can rip me apart for that one, Gil, but I like it. I like that bet.
It's that time of year when people are doing midweek NBA bets. Parlay with
that pays
weekend
out like
NFL.
+110.
Ravens at the Bengals, the 3rd of 3 on Sunday. This looks like, now, so Lamar Jackson looks to be done.
He is out, officially out.
He is officially out, and he says it's unstable, he said. His knee is unstable, and that his injury is more serious than originally believed. Indicating on Twitter that he suffered a PCL grade 2 sprain on the borderline of a strain 3. That ain't good. But Tyler Huntley did throw some passes yesterday in practice. So it could be Tyler Huntley. Bengals are up to 9.5.
Yep. Yeah, this is the one game I am loaded up on this week. Bengals, I took 6.5 on the opener, late 7 when it moved a little bit more. I love this side, obviously. I liked this. Gil, even if Lamar played in this game and this line would have dropped some, I still would have been on the Bengals side here. Love this Bengals team. Think they struggle after this round, but at least for this round, I think they take care of business easily against the Ravens and move on. So I laid 6.5, laid 7 with this Bengals.
So the only two games I'm not involved in, pre-flop, Giants-Vikings, and the Monday night game between the Buccaneers and the Cowboys. By the way, it has been noted elsewhere. It should be noted here as well. All of these games are rematches, right? All of these games, which is really rare. To have that, we're 6 games, all 6 here. Obviously, we haven't had the 6-game format for a while, but all of them are rematches. Cowboys-Bucks was week 1. Bucks won it 19-3. It was a snooze fest. Cowboys are 2.5-point favorites on the road. And again, I said it yesterday, and I will say it again, and I do not believe this is a prisoner-of-the-moment comment. I believe, I do not remember a team that has produced so much of a divisive outlook in terms of the opinions of them. They are just so widespread. Some people are all Tampa. About the Buccaneers yep. and just think that Tom Brady is going to show himself to be the GOAT. And then other people like myself are like, no, they stink. Now, as you've pointed out, Kelly, does this apply to this week? It does not. If the Buccaneers win this game, I would not be shocked.
Well, again, I think this is about the first time, one of the few times I can remember all year that me and you weren't very off on what we thought the line was going to be.
That's right. Very close. I've been way off on Buccaneers lines all year. Correctly so, by the way, as it turned out.
Just
most of the time.
And because we have been, I almost expected this to open Bucks 1 or Bucks 2 or something, and it's the other side. I'm with you. I hate everything about this game. No bet for me at all. If anything, it would be a lean to the under, but that would be it.
Yeah, and then there's some people who are saying don't be thrown off by Dallas' performance against Washington. They were vanilla. Yeah, man, you can say that, but they looked vanilla bad.
Mm-hmm.
Just say that if that's a flavor. Vanilla bad. We'll come back. Premier League picks, Paul Carr next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season where experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit Visa.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Bad news, ladies. They got the air condition fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I feel cool air pumping in.
Yeah. The prospect of doing a shirtless numbers game this morning is out the window. You're still in for free, though. Don't forget to tip.
Still in for free.
Don't forget to tip your weight staff. By the way, you ever go to those clubs back in the day where, like, people would take pictures in front of, like, I don't know, a wall of a car or something, and they would, like, pose, and it was, like, the weirdest, like, hey, I was at the club that night kind of thing?
I mean, I think I know what you're talking about. You're just talking about, like, random things that were at the club?
Random, ridiculous things that we just thought were normal at clubs.
Yeah. A night at the Roxbury.
The Chris Rock joke, not old, just a little too old to be in a club. There was that dude who was always in there. Yeah. So
I was, yeah. Oh, I feel man. Like that dude sometimes when I go to the club now.
Uh-oh. You.
So what did we learn during the break? We learned we were both at the M yesterday at the exact same time.
It's amazing.
With the, you know, where there's usually a total of 26 people in the place.
I haven't been in the M. I'm not joking. 4 years. Yesterday, we were in there.
It's been a couple years for me.
Yeah.
So we happened to be there at the same exact time.
Didn't see each other.
Did not see each other.
Amazing coincidence.
I was in and out, though. And then I have a new reality TV show idea.
Oh, what do you got?
Should I pitch this before we bring them in?
Absolutely.
All right. It's called Paul's Car with Paul Carr, okay? And it is just Paul Carr renovating cars and buying a new one each episode and renovating it. And the best part about it is I have no idea how much Paul knows about cars. So I kind of hope he knows nothing about it because I think it'd be a lot funnier.
Paul's Car with Paul Carr.
Yeah.
Well, if only we knew the potential star of that show. We do. We have him here. Oh, Paul Carr joins us from his lair in Topeka, Kansas. For the Expected Value podcast and, of course, True Media. How you doing, man? What do you think about that?
Paul's cars would go a lot like Kelly guessing college football lines. Let's put it that way.
That's a very popular segment, Paul.
Well, maybe we got something.
It would be a hit then. That's what I'm hearing.
That's what he heard. All right, well, before we get to your Premier League picks, and we are back full swing Premier League picking, if you will, since the World Cup. Let's talk about your Dolphins for a second. You are a lifelong Dolphins fan. I have a buddy who in San Francisco, Rez, is a lifelong Dolphins fan, and I can't get him to ever say anything that isn't, yeah, but it's Skylar Thompson. I would imagine that's how you feel, too.
I mean, that's pretty much it, right? Like, the Bills are going to put up 24 points, you figure, at least, and I'm not convinced Skylar Thompson can do even half of that. Against a decent defense. So, yeah, the whole thing reminds me of, so the last time they're in the playoffs, the Dolphins was 2016. Ryan Tannehill got hurt. Matt Moore had to start, and they were playing the Steelers, double-digit underdogs on the road. And it was one of those, you're like, well, maybe, I kind of talked myself into maybe if they can hang on for a little bit, they can make some noise at the end. And then Antonio Brown went 50 yards for a touchdown on like the fifth play, and then a 60-yard touchdown a few minutes later, and it was like, well, that was...
Dolphins haven't been in the playoffs in that long. Was that January 2016 or January 2017?
It was January of 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still.
5 years.
Still.
6 years, whatever.
Jeez.
And they haven't won a game. They haven't won a playoff game since 2000. It was the Lamar Smith game against the Colts where he had a big run in overtime and like 200 rushing yards. That was the last time they won a game. I was in college.
This is the thing about a lot of NFL franchises, right? The Dolphins haven't won a playoff game since 2000. Like we were at the M yesterday. Wishnev and I were eating at the Raiders place, right? And they're showing all these videos of all these old Raiders thing, and I'm like, boy, they have milked a lot out of this franchise that hasn't been to a Super Bowl since the end of the 2002 season, right? And before that had a big drought. You know, there's a few of those, right? Washington is one of them, but Washington doesn't pretend to be anything they're not.
I did catch the note of Skylar Thompson, the first quarterback drafted by the Dolphins to start a playoff game since Dan Marino.
Since Dan Marino. Dan Marino, 27th pick in the draft, 1983. Do you know who the 28th and final pick of that first round was?
Whom?
Daryl Green.
Hall of Fame.
How about
to wrap up the first round. That was the John Elway draft, right? That was an amazing draft.
John Elway, Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
There was somebody else was at the very top. One who was a Hall of Fame-ish type of player, too, I think.
It was amazing, yeah. Okay. The best draft of all time at the top, though, had to be 89, right? Troy Aikman won, Tony Mandrich bust two, but then Barry Sanders, Derek Thomas, and then fifth was Barry Sanders, Derek Thomas. It was a fifth. Deion Sanders, of course.
There not bad. Barry Only Sanders, four out of five Hall of Famers.
Barry Sanders, Derek Thomas, Deion Sanders. You can't, and four like legit awesome Hall of Famers. So you're not expecting big things from the Dolphins is what I'm getting out of that. Okay. All right. Well.
Nope.
Let's try to make some money betting the Premier League. So, again, a lot going on. NFL, obviously, center stage. Australian Open will start on Sunday night. But there is Premier League for those who want a little sidebar action. What do you got tomorrow?
Yeah, we got a couple big games this weekend. First one, I think this is the early game tomorrow. Man City, Man United. This is at Old Trafford at Man United. And I like City here. This is not a bold statement because they're the better team, but the price has been dropping down to minus 120 this morning. I think it's because Man United's been hot. They've won three league games since the break. City had drew Everton and lost in the FA Cup midweek, or the League Cup midweek. But that loss or the draw against Everton, City outshot Everton 16-2
you know, what are you going to do? And United's been hot against bottom six teams, Bournemouth, Wolves, Forest. They beat them 7-0 combined. But again, these are not good teams. So I think this is just as simple as my hot take of take the better team. City is better. They've done well against United lately. Three straight wins, all by multiple goals. I don't see any reason to go against that. City's healthy. They're in decent form. So minus 120 City win on the road is what I have.
Man City number two on the table right now. Man U fourth on the Premier League standings, where we are just shy of the halfway mark of the season, where Arsenal with a 5-point lead. You think this is going to happen for Arsenal, by the way?
I think they're legit. I mean, City is better. I mean, you could surmise that just by looking at the odds that City is still a favorite despite a 5-point deficit. City is better, but weird things happen. You know, Leicester City won a title.
Yes, they did.
So Arsenal had that 5 points. It doesn't sound like much, but it's a lot. I mean, you know, you can't assume anything. You know, City dropped points a couple weeks ago. Arsenal did too against Newcastle. But so Arsenal's not quite as good, but I think they're on plus 175 to win the title. I could sprinkle on it. I sprinkled it plus 250 a week or two ago. So I think they have a legit shot. I think we have a title race, which is really the good part. Yeah.
Who did you? Okay, speaking of Leicester City, who, of course, famously won at 5,000-1 odds. We don't see those kinds of odds anymore.
Nope.
You do have a Leicester City both teams score play here.
Yeah, shocker, huh? I'm sticking with this one. It hasn't been quite as good this year as it has been recently, but Nottingham Forest, again, toward the bottom of the table, but they've been a different team at home. 11 goals at home in 12 games. They've scored in all but one of them, and the underlying numbers match that. They play better at home. Leicester City's been decent away from home. They've scored in all 9 games, and they have almost 2 goals a game, even though that's running a little bit hot. So this is kind of just riding the wave. Over 80% of their games have cashed both teams to score on the road the last couple of years. So each team's bad defense. I know Leicester has some injuries, but I'm going to stick with this because they keep just they go at it a little bit more on the road, and it's resulted in goals all these games. So both teams to score minus 130.
By the way, I buried the headline when we did come back for the Premier League first week right after the World Cup. Paul went 3-0, just a little casual,
3-0, baby.
Little casual 3-0 we threw in there. We didn't have him last week, though. So he's back now to do this. And as you pointed out, great week of Premier League play because not only does Man City play Man U, but Tottenham plays Arsenal as well. Yeah. You have a thought on this?
Yeah, this is always a fierce North London derby. I think I don't have a great feel for how this one's going to go. I mean, everything, of course, points to Arsenal because they're a little bit better. But I'll use these last two games these teams played as kind of a microcosm. In May when they played, Spurs won 3-0 at home. They got a fairly early penalty and played pretty well the rest of the way. When they played in October, Arsenal won 3-1. They scored 3 times in the first half hour or so and then had their keeper Aaron Ramsdale make a whole bunch of saves. That's your range of outcomes, I think, here. I don't have a great feel for which way this one will go from a side standpoint, but I think there's going to be goals because Arsenal creates great opportunities. Tottenham's done well to get good chances themselves, even if they don't control the game like they probably won't here. So I think we're going to get goals one way or the other. So I played over 2.5 at minus 130.
All right, let's review them. Saturday, 2 games. Man City. Paul has Man City to win over Man U. He got minus 120. Always shop around for the number here on that. And on all these, Nottingham Forest, Leicester City, he's got both teams to score, minus 130, that 2 on Saturday, that's tomorrow. And then Sunday, Tottenham Arsenal, big one, he's going over. It's not a Paul Carr segment unless we have a total here, over 2.5, minus 130 in that one. And I do believe if I'm reading between the what's the expression, the tea leaves here, if I'm reading between the lines?
Reading between the lines, read the tea leaves, yeah.
You got the Buffalo Bills by about 20, is what I'm hearing. Okay. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it as always.
All right. Have a good weekend.
You too. Good luck to your Dolphins. At Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on Twitter. Again, with True Media Networks and the podcast, the Expected Value podcast, available where all podcasts are distributed. We've got Australian Open thoughts coming up. But on the other side, some NFL props for the weekend. Most receiving yards, most passing yards, most rushing yards. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention, BetMGM customers, have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Here's how it works. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Then once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager is settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. I got excited at all the wrong times of that promo, by the way. Just want to point that out. My self-critique. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Bainbridge Deweese, you keep mentioning how the new format makes everything different. But isn't the 2-7 game the only change? 3-6 and 4-5 are the same teams that would have been under the old format. Yes, that is correct, but that changes the nature of it.
Yes.
We don't want to... Oh, by the way, we have visitors here behind us on the
wall. Yes, you do.
that changes the nature of things because you can't really apply those numbers from the past to what has been the case just here recently, in recent years. David Shalafour, it's going to be must-see slow jam with Vinny if you two are topless. Hashtag let's ride. Vinny no longer doing the slow jam with us.
Vinny might kick us out, though, if he actually did see that.
Hey, good. What's going on in here?
What's going on here? Get out of here.
Oh, yeah. Rick Ollier. Gil, Kelly, salutations. How about a new bet? If Kelly does not drink the eggnog before Valentine's Day, he will be forced to watch... This is great. Such great knowledge of people listening to the show closely. He will be forced to watch Thunderball during the show, but only the underwater scene on a loop. Deal? It's the worst scene in the history of James Bond films. I defy you to watch.
I don't even know what you're talking about. You want a hot take real quick?
Please.
James Bond movies are overrated, every single one of them.
Yeah, you're too young to even appreciate any of them.
My James Bond starts with Pierce Brosnan, okay?
Yeah. So back in the day, before you were alive, James Bond was like a big deal. And I would even argue, but when you go back and you watch some of them, they are horrific to watch, right? So there's a scene in Thunderball, this was a terrible James Bond movie to begin with, but there's an underwater scene that lasts, I'm not kidding, 20 minutes it feels like. And I guess they thought they had this amazing new technology where they could film these battles underwater. It was horrible.
Now I'm looking for this scene.
Jim DeWitt, Seahawks just went to plus 10 at Caesars Online in New York. Let's see. It's not juice if you win. I'll be honest, I don't know anything about tennis, but isn't Nadal minus 235 a little short? No, he is not short. He's talking about his first round match against Jack Draper. That is a very dicey first round match for Rafa Nadal. And quite frankly, if anything, I think he should be lower than that. Now, does that mean that I think Nadal's going to lose? No, because he's Rafa Nadal, and he's awesome in a way that we can't even comprehend. But Jack Draper is not the matchup he wants. Robbie, hello. Great Swami of tennis. Wishing you and your family a happy and healthy new year. It's your time of year. Please, if you would, give me your thoughts on best plays on future Australian Open and opening day. Thanks much. We will. Again, the Australian Open podcast is available. I don't have to do them here. Deep Dive co-host Drew Dinsick and NBC Sports Bet the Edge Drew Dinsick and I did a long-form Australian Open podcast on the Beating the Book pod feed yesterday. I urge you to check it out. We will do an Australian Open segment later on the show, so we will talk some tennis. Anyway, appreciate it. All I'm looking at is Kelly is smiling back there. What are you looking at?
I'm watching this Thunderball scene, and I don't know what you guys are complaining about. This is fantastic. There's okay. 40 dudes down there with a spear gun battle underwater.
Great. 15 minutes from now, get back to me. See how you feel about it.
It's like a legit medieval warfare battle underwater with like 40 people all with spear guns.
For 45 seconds, it is tremendous. Get back to me in segment 6 of the show. All right, let's do these props. Let's talk about most playoff passing yards. Let's start there. These are at PointsBet.
Yeah.
So shout out to PointsBet for these. So again, the calculus here for you is you got to correlate this with who you think is advancing the furthest. I mean, unless you think somebody's going to throw for 10,000 yards in one game. But really, you're looking at who's going to, and now keep in mind there's buys too, right? So Kansas City and Philadelphia would be at a quote-unquote disadvantage, if you will, in this,
right,
in these particular props. So again, in this case, talking about obviously Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. So here is the odds to have the most playoff passing yards the whole postseason. This includes the Super Bowl, correct?
Yes.
Sorry, Kelly. Kelly's in the middle of drinking. He's watching Thunderball scenes, for God's sake. Sorry to interrupt.
As they already yelled at me once about my coffee. That was really...
I don't mean to get in the way. Josh Allen plus 225 is the short shot. Now, Patrick Mahomes, even with, you know, a maximum of one game fewer, right? His ceiling is one game fewer than everybody playing this week. He's at plus 275 because he's Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Joe Burrow 4-1, Jalen Hurts, the aforementioned, plus 650, Justin Herbert, plus 850. And then you have the rest in double digits, including Kirk Cousins at 14-1. That's interesting. Okay. You like anything here?
Okay, so I think this one's tough because I think it's Josh Allen or nothing for me, where he's going to play in the first round, right? And I think he's going to get all the way to an AFC championship game and then possibly even a Super Bowl. I might be on the Bills in a Bills-Kansas City matchup. So I for me, it would be Josh Allen or pass. I think if you start looking further down the board, Gil, I think you need to do a little bit of what we did yesterday with correlate to what, like we did with the with Super Bowl MVP odds. I think he's correlate a little bit too of
a little bit.
Hey, you know, should you bet this or like an AFC to win the AFC? And I think when you start looking like a Burrow and Herbert, good examples, right? If I think they're going to actually lead the playoffs in passing yards, that means they're getting to an AFC championship game at least. Probably beyond that. So you got to, I think you got to compare then to those team odds as well. So for this one, it's Josh Allen or pass for me.
It should also be noted in this one, it was the final word on this one, the most playoff passing yards. One of the reasons also that Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and Justin Herbert are four of the top five, and that Jalen Hurts is the fifth of those top five. I get it, he's fourth, but of the five top players here, top five quarterbacks. Philadelphia has by far the best pass defense per pass attempt, mm-hmm, opponent's yard per pass attempt in the NFL. They only give up 5.5 of those. So all the NFC quarterbacks, theoretically, who are not named Jalen Hurts, would eventually run into them at some point, too. So keep that in mind in the calculus. Let's go to the next one. This is most playoff. You want to go receiving yards before rushing?
Yeah.
What do you want to do first?
We'll go rushing. We'll go rushing.
We'll go rushing.
Because I actually like this one the best, I think.
Do you now? All right. So let's go most playoff rushing yards. Again, same thing. Who's going to play the most games? Your North Star in all of this. Well, Christian McCaffrey's at plus 475. And I think that that's a fascinating one because, again, Christian McCaffrey, now, are there enough footballs to go around for the San Francisco 49ers? That would be something you'd have to consider here, too. But McCaffrey and the Niners do play this weekend, and people think they're going to go far. I certainly do. Plus 475. Josh Allen, quarterback, Buffalo, yeah. Bills is number two.
Yeah.
At 7-1. This ain't the 70s or 80s in the NFL early 90s. This is 2023. Miles Sanders plus 825. Jalen Hurts comes in at 9-1. And Joe Mixon at 10-1. What do you like?
Okay, so if you're real high on the Bengals, I think a Joe Mixon 10-1, sprinkle something on there, makes a lot of sense. If you're real high on the Bengals. And again, we're talking about at least making an AFC championship game, probably even further than that. To me, Gil, the two top names in this market should be shorter odds than they are.
I agree with that.
I think McCaffrey and Allen you're actually getting better numbers than you should in this market on both of them. And I would bet if this was available, I think I'd put a little bit on Josh Allen. I know I just talked about him in the passing market, but the rushing yards, I mean, this dude's going to be their whole offense. We see how this team plays when you get in these big games and must-win games. Josh Allen is going to be running it a ton. I think a 7-1 price on him is not a bad price at all.
I think you're right. And again, just sort of being thorough about it like we did with the passing yards, when you talk about opponents' rushing yards per attempt, the San Francisco 49ers defense is by far the best left in the postseason. Although, shout out to the Baltimore Ravens. They come up great statistically in that as well. But the San Francisco 49ers give up 3.4 yards per rush attempt on average. And obviously Christian McCaffrey doesn't have to deal with that because he plays with the same team, and Josh Allen won't have to till a potential Super Bowl.
Yep.
Real quick, most playoff receiving yards, Stephon Diggs 6-1, Jamar Chase plus 850.
This is the toughest one to me.
I think so,
receiving
too.
Receiving yards always, I think, a little bit more random. I mean, I guess if anything, it would be the A.J. Brown at 10-1, I guess, stuck out to me the most.
Interesting that Justin Jefferson is 15-1. You would have to think that they would beat the Giants first, for sure. And then the problem is, can he do enough in two games
right.
to win this outright?
Yeah, and I don't think so.
That's why he's 15-1. We'll come back. A gentleman who lost on Colin Morikawa this past weekend, and that isn't even close to the worst thing that happened to him this past weekend, betting-wise. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.